my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, it's a Patreon pick. It's our great friend Blake, and he's picked, Dave, an Aussie movie from 1997 called The Castle, Dave. And it's the acting debut of Eric Banner. I always call him O'Banner, whatever his name is, who was the Hulk, even though he's got small parts. So had you even heard of this one, Dave?
I had not, Chris. So I've got no nostalgia or anything to talk about this. However, what I would say is, the way it's shot and everything is like watching Neighbours in the 90s. So I think it was more probably, let me think, 97. I was away at uni then, so I wasn't really into the Neighbours as much. But Neighbours was always a staple, wasn't it? You know, you'd come back from school and you'd watch a bit of Home and Away first, and then Neighbours would come on at, I think it was about 5:30, I'm sure, and then finishes yes. at 6 o'clock and stuff. And I remember I've got this weird memory of watching, it must have been like some kind of media program or something, and just looking at the I guess you would say now, Chris, the cinematography, looking at like how things are shot in movies and the lighting and everything. And I remember it used Neighbours as like a bad example, because it had like Harold Bishop and
Madge.
Yeah, that's it. I knew it wasn't Marge. It wasn't quite right. So Harold and Madge in the kitchen, and you could see the lighting, like literally the studio lighting on the top of their heads, and it was pointing it out. It's like, I remember thinking, feeling attacked. I'm like, you fuckers fucking love Neighbours. Like, fuck off. So, but then obviously years later, you're like, oh yeah, I see what you mean, really. And so the way this is all shot, it just has that Neighbours feel. Like, it doesn't look like a movie. It just looks like a kind of TV episode or something. And so that's what, that's the nostalgic feeling it gives me. I mean, how about yourself, Chris?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that there, because I mean, we still watch in our house. Sam still watches Neighbours. She's only just binned off Home and Away. Obviously, Neighbours went off our screens for nearly 2 years. It's now on that Freevee now on Amazon. So she still watches it. So in all the characters, I still follow their socials. It was pretty gutty when it went. Obviously, my first true love, Dave, was Kylie Minogue as Charlene Ramsey all them years ago. But yeah, so I still watch, and I agree. We watched, obviously, a lot of the Aussie shows are still or were on the UK TV stuff. Stuff like, you know, obviously Home and Away, Neighbours, you had Doctors. I remember watching The Sullivans, which I think was set around World War II. I always remember the bit where the lad knit the girl's hat or something like that, and it was part of the opening credits. Prisoner Cell Block H, you know, like, obviously the fucking prison used to fall over if someone had a fight, because all the fucking scenery was made of cardboard. It was shit, wasn't it? But I actually like the newer Wentworth stuff, which came out a few years ago. That's brilliant as a show based, you know, Prisoner Cell Block H. That was proper violent Wentworth. Really good show, that. But yeah, the Aussie shows I've always like adhered to. Obviously, Dave, one of the greatest movies of all time, BMX Bandits, we covered as well, Dave. Yeah. What a movie that was. You know, we've had a few Aussie movies, haven't we? The one with Heath Ledger as well was a cracking movie just before Batman and that. So I'm with you. It feels, and it's shot very familiar the way this is. And it's not something that even, you know, and we'll get into it properly, even that when you're watching it, you're like, not like, oh, fucking hell. It does feel like you've seen a storyline or you've seen these. I mean, I've never seen any of these characters. Obviously, Eric Banner was the whole, I know who he is. I do want to watch that one Chopper as well, Dave, where he's talking, he's that guy. He's fucking out Chopper Reed and stuff. It's supposed to be brilliant. Movie. I've only seen clips of it. Like, he's supposed to be a horrible bastard, wasn't he? But so this just was one of them things when you said the, and you watched it before, and you're like, you need to. So I was like, what the fuck's going on here? You know, like, where what's this about? And it's quite easy to find online, actually. There's an archive website that's got a lot of these movies on, Dave, so it's quite easy movie to get hold of as well. So I was interested, but then I'm thinking it's better not be Bad Boy fucking Bubby. Because so I saw someone and mentioned that on Twitter last week, and I was really? Like, do these know fucking Blake? Or, you know, it's like, what's going on? But it wasn't. Someone else said it. What a film. I was like, are you fucking on drugs? What fucking shit have you been taking? It's a fucking good film. Anyway, Dave, so no.
Nothing, no, Blake no, might think it's a good film.
Well, he might do. Yeah, he knows that he stitches us up. But Dave, I've got a little story for you, Dave.
Oh, now, God.
And I know you poked fun at this, so I'm dropping in there now like I'm some fucking big time. So obviously I've mentioned a few times, or maybe not on this podcast, that off the back of our reality TV podcast, Chris and Dave's reality TV podcast, the listeners, one of them was a BBC presenter, and she's had us going on, and she's doing like different segments on reality TV, and it's garnered this little media outlet for me, which I'm really proud of, and proud of it for the podcast. It's a great little, you know, PR thing for us. But I do love that, like, you know, being an extrovert, love the fucking, you know, the glamour of all these things. So the last few weeks I've been going into BBC Radio Manchester doing segment and stuff, and it's a parenting segment, Dave, which I don't think they realize that my daughter's 23, and I tell them every time, because it was about packed lunches and different things, but it was good fun and presented really nice. So when I get to the BBC, which is in Manchester, it's right near where my work is, there's lots of comic relief stuff on, because comic relief's going on, and you go in the reception and they get, you know, take a picture, they pat you down, you sit there, and there was some fucking two lads coming band. They made my ADHD look fucking normal. They were just fucking giddy as fuck. And this guy, oh yeah, your interview's been on Radio One. And I'm thinking, I don't even know who these two kids are. And you've got like the BBC Breakfast Lounge there. You can take a picture. They're probably dead famous. And I'm just sat there going, I don't know who you used to bell ends are. You're just fucking annoying me.
Probably,
but anyway,
ADHD, probably some of the thing.
Well, probably marching probably powder or something, maybe. Possibly, Dave, yeah. So I'm in the reception, and I'm sat there waiting and waiting and waiting. And then you can see across where BD Sitter is, these massive screens everywhere. It's really nice where they've done it, because I walk around there all the time. But loads of people doing silly things for comic relief. And the woman on reception, who I've seen a couple of times, she's dead nice. I'm chatting away, and she went, oh, David Tennant's been in today. But, oh, my God, he said he was all fucking rock star. And he ran in out of the taxi. The taxi burned up to the fucking front door, like, and it's a pedestrian area. He runs in because he was people in his organ. He wanted to go out the back door. I said, well, he always comes across really nice. He said he may have been. He said, we do get that because they're on schedules, that, you know, they've got different things, but he came in for comic relief. So anyway, Dave, we go upstairs, and you walk through, and you've got all like the producers, and you've got the different radio stations there, the national stuff and that. And the lady who's doing the present, Simone, really nice, she waves at me, and there's supposed to be another woman on with me. So she was late. So they get me in. And obviously I've got my Nike Air Force Ones on, Dave. You know, I'm trying to look a bit smart. I've got my fucking Zara jacket on. I've got my jeans. You know, I have got my fucking Next jeans on. We're not talking big time here. We're talking about fucking, not big outfit, but I'm trying to look a bit.
I don't know. Polo Next, as opposed to,
well,
like,
you know what I mean? Well, it used to be Primarni for a long time, Dave. Yeah, I like the Next jeans because they're stretchy. They're like jeggings almost. And I've got my tattoos. Obviously, I've got I've got my Spider-Man tattoo and my Venom and above, you know, my Batman stuff. And I've got all my American stuff. I've got my tattoo, got my T-shirt, my polo. I may have been showing the guns off, Dave, you know, now that I'm back in some sort of reasonable shape. And, you know, obviously, as I've got older, my hair has gone grayer, but I've still got the slick, you know, comb over hair, Dave. You know, I still take pride in my hair. I'm still, you know, I've got like the, but it is gray. I still kid myself, there's brown in there. There's not. It's only when I have a shower. So I'm talking to this Simone, and we're chatting away, and I sort of looked over my shoulder, and there was a couple of people looking over, and we do have a producer who comes in and brings weather. So it's really intriguing to see how they run it. It's really good how they do it. And you're watching, I'm just like fascinated by it. We're just chatting, and it's coming across the town. I'm chatting away, yeah. And then the lady who was late, she comes in the studio, and someone was saying something. And she looked at me, and she said, you know, out there, she went, I can see it. Oh, they thought you were interviewing David Beckham. And, oh, Dave, my fucking day was made. And there was people out there coming past going, is that David Beckham? And I'm like, fucking getting, it's gone from Swayze to looking like, fuck it, I don't know what I look like as the last couple of years, but I was like, fucking Beckham, my schnoz. I mean, they made a joke about comic relief and putting the red nose on. I went, there's no, and someone said something about my nose, like David. So, you know, they're already aware of the nose situation. But David fucking Beckham, Dave. So what have you got to say about that? Because I was over the moon with that.
Right.
Just thought it's a video, an audio podcast.
So, I mean, I'm guessing it was fully from the back. And they could see the tattoos and everything.
The side. The side, the eyes. Because they have the headphones.
It can't be the
on.
Side, the shadow that schnoz would be casting. There's no way.
Swear to God. Because it was comic relief. I was like, are you fucking being sponsored for someone to say this, to take the piss? I was like, she went, oh, I can see it's the eyes. Oh, yeah. They're out there. They come back. I was like, what the fuck? So obviously, the first one to ring is Samantha. She's fucking like, oh, fuck off, taking the piss. Then I rang me mate, and he was laughing. But yeah, so I saved
did
it for
you
the podcast.
Go through your phone book, basically?
Yeah, I was everyone. I was fucking going to put it in the family group. Everyone would be like, fuck off. Yeah. But, swear to God, it was one of the greatest fucking pickups I've ever seen. I was just like, honestly, my head swiveled like the fucking exit. I was like, are you taking the mitt? I honestly thought it was a wind-up. I'm like, I'm going to come out and say, oh, he's fucking dead. I was like, ah. So that was me then. I was on cloud nine, Dave. I walked out fucking big time, fucking loved it. Absolutely loved it. Because when you go to the BBC and you've got the normal staff there and you're coming in as it, and they give everyone like a thing. I swear to God, I'm not just saying it. I've had a few people look over and I saw it the other week. Someone was like, who's that guy? And it's just, oh, he's on the radio. You know, one of them. But because you have so many celebrities going in, they think you're something. I'm not, but it's just, oh, it's made my fucking year. I'm going to dine off
how many listeners the CD Reality Cast gets.
Exactly.
You know?
Listen, Dave, you know what I mean? Well, worldwide, fucking, baby.
I'm only jealous, really. The thing I always get is fucking David Brent. But anyway, never mind Beckham. So anyway,
good
Chris.
Idea. It's a good idea for a
You can just see the fingers coming together now.
I don't know what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. Swear to God, that's what I'm doing it right now. Oh, it's made my fucking year that day. Fucking brilliant.
Anyway, Chris, on that note, should we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
The Kerrigans were an ordinary family blessed with extraordinary gifts. Sophisticated palates.
What do you call these things again?
Resells. Chicken. Sponge cake.
A priceless automobile collection.
Could you move the Chimera? I need to get the Tirana out so I can get the Commodore.
I'll have to get the keys to the Cortina. I'm going to move that Chimera.
An appreciation of high culture.
Dad reckons there's only one show better than Hey Hey, It's Saturday.
Mum, what's right on?
Okay, Tracy, this is it. The luggage in number two. Go!
An innate sense of taste and style.
This is going straight to the pool room.
How do I look, Dad?
They had this one channel, kickboxing, 24 hours a day.
A love of unspoiled nature.
How's the serenity? Not a sound.
Finally, the most cherished gift of all, their house.
Dad called it his castle.
And this is my backyard.
Is that the runway there?
Well, I reckon we're the luckiest family in the world.
Until one ordinary day, a knock on the front door changed everything.
Compulsorily acquired.
This is a compulsory acquisition.
They're going to take our place and we don't get a say in it.
But that's why you'll be duly compensated.
I don't want to be compensated. You can't buy what I've got.
Now the Kerrigans must venture beyond their own backyard to face the biggest fight of their lives.
If it's going to be lawyers, I'm going to hit them with the big artillery.
I cleared that tray three f***ing times.
What's this Dennis Danuto like, Daryl?
Oh, he's a lawyer.
It's justice. It's law, it's the vibe.
This is about the law.
No, that's it, it's the vibe.
Do you have a precedent which supports this vibe?
Gotta know what he's doing.
I'm shitting myself.
Tell him to get stuffed.
Excuse the French, Eva.
Get your hand off it, Daryl.
The creators of Frontline now bring the Aussie family onto the big movie screen where they belong.
Who ordered medium rare?
I mean, now that is a head of hair.
The Kerrigans.
Dale dug a hole.
Ordinary family.
Good on you, Dale.
Extraordinary story.
Dad?
Yeah, mate?
Dug another hole.
The Castle. A comedy that sticks the finger up the big guys.
Suffering your jocks.
The Kerrigan home in the outer Melbourne blue-collar suburb of Coolaroo is filled with love as well as pride in their modest lifestyle, but their happiness is threatened when developers attempt the compulsory acquisition of their house to expand the neighbouring airport. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, I think what interested me was, because like you were teeing it up, I'm thinking, oh my God, what is this going to be about? Like, you know, what's the idea behind? I had no context of what it was about. I didn't know the story. I didn't check anything online. I just went into it completely cold, basically thinking, right, this is a definite gym movie. I'll get on the bike and I'll watch it, and then I'll carry on watching it when I've, you know, having a brew or whatever. And I think what we were saying before the actual trailer is very thingy. It's very, very familiar. It really is. The way it's set, the way it's filmed. Obviously, it was on a budget. I've gone down a rabbit hole of reading about it. It was filmed over 11 days, and that's mainly because that's the only way they could feed the actual, I don't know, money to feed the actual cast and that, and the schedule, the money. But it was weird because obviously the son is the one who's like directing the whole movie, and he's like telling it from his perspective about his dad. I mean, I've got to say, Dave, the dad, fucking dad, he's absolute fucking brilliant. No matter what it is, it's like, Daryl, with you know, I've just cheated on with your wife. Yeah, but she's great in bed, mate. Yeah, and she makes a great brew, mate. You know, it's everything. He's so upbeat in here, and it's supposed to be like this. It's just so positive. And what's interesting is, and you get this anywhere, the dad is the focal point of the whole house, isn't he? The wife looks up to him. He's hardworking. The lads all look up to him. His daughter. That he's like, everything he says, it's like he's the oracle, isn't it? No matter what he says, whether it's right or wrong. And you get that, don't you? You are that sponge for your children. Like, you're their hero, basically. So if you do a bad job of that, then, you know, it is that. But yeah, and I grew up in a house like where my old man was just, everything he said was true. And then as you get older, you're like, you're talking utter bullshit, you know, but you do take that in. These people are people you look up to. And I like the fact that he's a knowledgeable, he's just a normal bloke, and the way the family dynamic of it is. But I did think at first, the first half, I was like, what is the point of this movie? Like, is it just loads of dialogue and loads of empty segments to the movie? But yeah, it's a harmless movie. It's not like we're going to get someone bursting through a fucking door with a machine gun, or, you know, we've not got Hulk Hogan there or fucking Shan Tweed there, Dave, like my pick the other week, you know. But it was an interesting pick, because I did think, my skeptical hippo eyes were thinking, Blake's fucking done something. Is this going to turn into a zombie movie or something, or some fucking mad orgy or something? But no, it's basically an everyman type movie, isn't it?
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, I had no idea what to expect, like yourself. And then, like, after a while, I got the feeling like, oh, right, okay, a man's house is castle. That's where the name of the movie comes from, the castle. But it does have that kind of low budget look to it, where you think, oh, yeah, it could be one of these, you know, shaky cam kind of Blair Witch Project things or something like that. I never actually thought that, but now you just said it, I can see why you thought that. Chris, you have not come in exactly how I thought you were going to come in with this. So, because I was watching, you're saying the first half hour, it felt longer to me. I would say probably half of the movie, I'm thinking, by God, this is shit. I mean, I can sort of see what it's trying to do. It's trying to be funny. Like you say, the dad's the focal point. He's got all these half-finished projects through the house, you know, and it's a shocking-looking house, let's face it. You know, it's right next to the airport. But he's always, as you reminded me of myself, like, he's got these, like, ideas about, oh, you know, you can do this, and then it'll, you know, inflate the size, inflate the cost of the house or whatever. And then is the eldest son, who dubs the kind of ideas man, you know, he's looking through the paper at like secondhand bargains and stuff, and then whatever he calls out, his dad's like, you know, ask him how much he wants for it, and then he gives him a price or whatever, and it's like, he's dreaming for everything. Yeah. It's always the same response. But they're always looking for that bargain, and you can just imagine they're like these hoarders who have all this shit. And it just in this messy, messy house. And I'm thinking, God, this is fucking terrible. But when I think it gets into the real, what I'd say is the plot, you know, the him kind of defending his house, I'm like, I get sucked in a little bit. I'm like, I still feel like it doesn't look like a movie, but it's kind of charming, isn't it? And it very, very Australian. I can imagine this is how blue collar Australia looks at itself, you know, poking a bit of fun at itself, you know, very, very much like salt of the earth, you know, going up against the man, going up against the institution, the government. And I kind of got sucked in, I must admit, Chris.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, Dave, because I was trying to hold back on that. But yeah, I did the same. I came into it going, oh, fuck my life. What is this thing? You know, I love it. I love it because I love we talk about it. I love the fact that if Blake or anybody's stitching us up, I love that. You know, just that moment of like I do with you. If you, I get you with a movie and I like giggle like a little kid and then I go, oh, hang on a minute. Dave's going to pick before I pick next sort of thing. And I'm like, oh shit, what have I done? You know, like one of them, like we've done it. And it's been the whole thing of the podcast. But with this, it was just a bit of a refreshing change, I think, for some of the movies that we normally do, because it's just something different. You know, like we had the one where the guy went across America in his lawnmower, didn't we? You know, that was a completely different film, but it drew me in. And with this was the same, like, obviously they've got the son in jail, aren't they? And you know, the daughter goes on the TV show and all that, and these like the brothers narrating different things about the dad, and like you say, he's just got so many different fucking projects and shit that he's not finished around the house, like he's never going to finish. And I did like the fact that you knew it was low budget, because the only time you ever heard a plane was when they mentioned the airport, but any other time there was no context to this major airport. I mean, it's not exactly Harley Davidson, the Marlboro Man, where they're in the bar and the next minute the fucking bar's right next to the airport and they just jump over the fence. I mean, what a fucking bullshit that was. You know, that was like fucking horrendous. At least with this, it's a low budget sort of TV show, isn't it? It's an afternoon TV show, this. Like, mate, you have a brew, you sit there, you've got fuck all on. Oh, shall I watch it or not? And then I got sucked in, and I did like the fact with Daryl, though, that when the guy comes and threatens him, you know, so obviously, you know, there's little things going on and they want the property. It's a compulsive order. He doesn't understand what a compulsive order when he's in court. He's like, oh, great. And he's like, no,
yeah,
fucking, they want the house, basically. You know, he doesn't understand any of this thing. And then obviously he gets a solicitor. But when the guy comes to threaten the heavy and the fucking son just pumps the fucking gun in his face and he's like, and then, like you said, they start arguing. He fucks the guy off. The guy goes, whoa, goes. And then he says to him, somewhere, the fuck, where the hell have you got that? You know, and he's going, yeah, yeah. He goes, how much? And he's saying, right, I got it for 180. And he's like, why are you bothering about it? But then little silly things like Daryl's remit. He's not bothered about the fact that he's got one son in jail. This lad, his other son could be going to fucking jail now for pulling a fucking shotgun. A fucking big rifle on this guy. So there is some charm to Daryl's character, and I do like the fact that he is the glue of the family, and he's the one that they just, all the lads look up to him. He's the hero of like the show. But yeah, the stuff I found that I didn't laugh a lot of it, but the last four, because it's an hour and 20, the movie really, but the second half of the movie, there's some clever writing and clever little things that are not like belly laughs, but they're just, they make you smile, you know, little comments and little things that he does that I found quite endearing to his character. So, Blake, if you're listening, mate, and I'm not revealing my score because we're not even there yet. However, it got me this about halfway through and I was like, oh, actually, it's really nice. Yeah, it's quite a charming movie. So, yeah, it's interesting because it isn't blood, guts or anything. It's about these big companies going, fuck that, we're just going to come in. Like near me, and well, not near me, but the M62, you've got, everyone must drive past it. If you live like Leeds Way, Yorkshire Way, or Manchester, and I'm sure our friend Glenn Davis, because he's a delivery driver, but there's a house in the middle of the fucking motorway, little farm. Yeah. You've been past it because they wouldn't sell. And the motorway goes fucking round the house with the little farm and everything. And that house is so famous, like past going up to Leeds and that before Bradford and stuff. I think it's just, after Huddersfield. But anyway, you go past it all the time. You're like, yeah, that is just fucking, that is a flex and a half. And it's like, well, fuck you. I am not moving. So I do like that, where they feel like they've been forced down.
Have you seen the? There's a place in America as well. It flashed up on my Twitter at some point, and same sort of idea, same as the M62 thing, where they're just like, nope, not selling, and then everything has to kind of build around that. But there was someone, I think they passed away now, but they wanted to build a mall, so they were building all these houses and stuff, and this one person just wouldn't sell. So basically, you've got this random house, and they've just cut out a bit of the mall. So the house is just there, surrounded by this big American mall. It's fucking brilliant. But yeah, the thing that I like about Daryl is he just brings everyone around him up. You know,
yes,
his daughter,
yes,
he's talking up, his sons, he's talking up, you know, even his mate who's done he's basically done a bit of local sort of small scale, small claims stuff. He's like, you know, you can do this, you know, we can go up against the Constitution and win. You know?
Oh, I love that.
But Chris, I was thinking, like, basically, he is the early prototype. He's the Aussie Ted Lasso, because I still, you know, I've still not watched the third season. I need to watch it.
You've got to.
But
yeah,
like the thing that I loved about that, because I thought when I watched that first season of Ted Lasso, right, I thought it's just going to be this silly, like goofy thing. You know, you got Dave, what's his name, Sakaitis or whatever his
Jason
name is.
Sakaitis, yeah.
Jason, yeah. And so you've got him and it's going to be all silly and slapstick and stuff. But no, it's got so much heart. And basically, you know, it's not only him, it's the whole entourage of characters as well. But he is just so positive and you can see the cynicism around him and he just lifts everyone around him up. And that's what Daryl does. He just brings everyone up. But fuck with him, you know, and he'll dig in, he'll fight for what is his. And so that's what I do really like about this character.
No, I do as well. And you say Ted Lasso, Dave. If anybody wants to really understand, I know it's a Bridget Nielsen, my Helga fascination or fantasy as a kid, Dave. Hannah Waddingham out of Ted Lasso. Holy fucking shit. And I watched that with Sam with my hands under my fucking... I was sat on my hands going, don't say it, don't say it, please don't say anything. Every time she had that fucking really, really sexy, like, pin skirt on and everything, I was like, that's Helga, Chris. Yeah, that's the one. But anyway,
she's stunning. Like a massive fucking Amazonian or something, isn't it? I remember there was an episode 100%. Of Futurama where they have to, I think it's death by snoo-snoo, they call it, but basically they're going to get shagged to death by all these massive Amazonians. And
that's terrible.
I think she'd break me, quite honestly. But
fucking hell, I'd have to use my nose, I think, Dave. A Woody Woodpecker, but anyway, right. So,
oh dear, this charming, loving movie was just taking it down that path.
I can't do it. Remember it? That was just me there, was straight in there. Right. So, anyway, I know. Dave, you just bring it down every fucking episode. No, but I do like Dennis because he does. He ain't got a fucking clue, and he's like, "Yeah, you can do it, mate. You can do it." And when they're in court that first time, it's fucking brilliant because he just says to him, like, you know, Daryl's gone the Constitution, and it's like us in it. We watch something like we watched that fucking Ally McBeal years ago, didn't you? You know, and you watch it, and it'd be like, you know, or you watch, we did Thingy, didn't we? We've done Devil's Advocate, your pick. What a great film, you know, last week's pick. What a great film. And you do, objection, Your Honor. What are you objecting to? I don't know, but that's what they say in the movies. Yeah, but what about, and it's like he just got, it's the Constitution. I'm getting a fucking vibe. A fucking lawyer.
What's
getting a vibe. It's just the law. Bullshit. Wouldn't it? You know,
just the vibe of it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, imagine representing you in court. And like, I've got this, Dave. What is it? It's a vibe. I don't like his eyes over there. They look a bit fucking sinister. He's definitely done it, Your Honor. What evidence have you got? It's part of the constitution. Yeah, but what have you got? I don't know. But it sounds good. And you're sat there going, oh my God, I'm going down for a five stretch here. He's fucking done me. But that was what I liked about this. And I love the fact that Daryl, he's going, fucking nailed it, mate. I'm doing Cockney now. Fucking hell. Ray Winston said he's a Daryl. Yeah. He's like, yeah, you've nailed it, mate. You know, nailed it. And I'm pissing myself laughing then going, oh, this isn't going to go the way you think, Daryl, you know. But it works, doesn't it? Dennis is bumbling. He goes to see her and he tries to get your deal going. Am I wasting my time here, Your Honor? And she's like, just give me an angle. She's like, I can't give you a fucking angle, you know. And when she gives the verdict and Daryl thinks he's won, he's like, great, mate. And he goes, no, we've lost. And he's just like, completely. So that sort of side of the movie is fantastic, and when he meets Lawrence, I honestly thought Lawrence was the dad of the other side, you know, the arsey one who'd come to offer him money and Dennis's studio. I thought he was his office. I honestly thought he was something to do with that. But the charm in the movie to get to this point, and you're right, Dave, like there's just something about the movie that I didn't understand it halfway through, and I was like, oh, this, I don't know what this is, but then. I'm with you. I really, really got sucked in and I really started to believe in all the characters, if I'm being honest. Like, his wife's a real backbone, really. Daryl's the glue, but his wife's there just doing enough, supporting him, believing in him, you know. And he believes in her food, doesn't he? He says it every fucking night. Oh, what's this you've done?
Terrible one of them, food.
When he's pissed, terrible food. He's pissed off. And she says, what's this? She goes, ice cream. What does he do? Just scoops it out, you know. And he's like, amazing, you know. But you're right. He brings everyone up Ted Lasso style, but also I think the dynamics of the family have really come to its fore at the end of the movie.
Yeah. 100%. And you say about Lawrence, I mean, I think, even though I think the first half of the movie is a bit of a slog, I think you almost have to experience that bit to understand the second half. Because when he's having that conversation with Lawrence, I could kind of see what was going to happen. Because, you know, he's basically been mauled in the courtroom, but he doesn't even understand that he's been mauled there. And he comes out and he just has this chance meeting with this, but basically Lawrence is a retired barrister, isn't he? And he's like, oh, you know, how's it going? And he's like, yeah, pretty confident.
I know, it's fucking brilliant, isn't it?
You're watching it and you're like, hey, you fucking bonkers. Did you not see what just happened? But you can see by this point that, you know, he just has this aura about him and just everything's so positive. And you're thinking, oh, this guy's going to be someone important. And he's going to, I mean, he's not going to, his mate, is he? He's not going to fucking bail him out there. So he's got to have this kind of chance meeting with someone who's actually fucking competent at what they do. So, yeah, I thought it was quite obvious by that point, but only because of what had come before in terms of, you know, Daryl's effect on the people around him.
Yeah, you're right. And it's a lovely conversation with that, Lawrence. It's just an ad hoc outside the court chat in it. You know, Daryl's still upbeat, like you say, Ted Lasso style. And when obviously they're about, he's packing up in here, and then he turns up, Lawrence, doesn't he, at the house, and he's packing up, and Daryl's talking to his wife and everything, he's talking to Sal, and this is it, you know, and he won't sign the forms, really. He's like, I'm not fucking signing it, you know, I don't want to sign it, this is our home. I don't know what it is, Dave, I can't believe I'm going to admit this, because fucking, you piss yourself, but there's a little bit when Lawrence came in and said, I think I can help, I'm having a fucking lump in my throat watching it, you know. I don't know why, there was just something about that, even though it was almost, I mean, it's, I know it sounds silly, but it's almost like that Apollo Creed, like, you know, yeah, fuck it, you need to go right back. You need to go right back. Let's get it back. Let's win it together. I don't know. There was something about it that it just felt really wholesome. And when he did it, I was like going, what is fucking going on with me here? What's wrong with me here? Like, but it really got me. I was like, not crying or anything. There's no tears, but you know, that sort of like lump, you're like, oh, this is really nice, this. And you're rooting for him then. Like, when they're in the court though, obviously, the son's still directing it and all that. And fucking Dennis is there, and he goes, yeah, yeah, and Dennis is really coming to his
own. I think you mean narrating rather than directing, sorry.
Directing, yeah, that as well.
You've said it twice now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's doing that as well, Dave. That's why I could never represent you in court, because I'd be saying all sorts of shit, Dave. But
just the vibe
anyway,
of it.
Yeah, just the vibe of it, Your Honour. But when he passes, he goes, yeah, and Dennis is really coming to his own. And he says, do you want a drink of water? And he's just like, you know, thinking Dennis is going to pass him some sort of fucking... Yeah. Claws or something that someone's missed, that even that Lawrence has missed, and Lawrence stops and like goes, no, you're all right, you know. But it was just like ridiculous. But the son narrating it, Dave, he's sort of, he's believing that Dennis has stepped up to the plate when really he's done fuck all. He's just like holding his books for him, isn't he, and stuff. It's fucking
but
funny.
It shows that he's so invested in other people. You know, he's basically a rock for everyone else. And, you know, he can't really help him. He doesn't know anything about the law. He just puts his trust in the barrister, in Lawrence, to help him. He wants to make sure he's all right. And you know what? It's funny you say. I mean, honestly, this didn't happen when I was watching the movie. Because, again, imagine a confused GIF. You know, that poor little girl who's probably like 20 or something now, where she's just like looking very confused. You see it in multiple memes and that. That was me through most of this movie. But honestly, it sort of gets better when you're thinking back to it, because you're right. Like, the family is so down and they've been so upbeat, you know, and Daryl's been bringing everyone up, like you say, with the wife's cooking and everything. The guy, the eldest son who's looking through the newspapers, let's face it, right? You'd be saying, what the fuck? It's a piece of shit. Why do you care? What was it they were after? Like, it wasn't a samurai sword, but it was just this random shit out of the newspaper. And you're thinking, what are you wasting your time with that shit for? But no, Daryl's like, oh, yeah, this sounds good, mate. You're the ideas guy, you are. And it's just so, it just makes you feel so good in this really cynical world, you know, us included. And, but yeah, when they get the order, you know, they've lost the case and everything, the family is all just so low, they're so down, you know, and everything. And Lawrence coming in, is that, you know, Chris, I can almost hear the Rocky music coming in, you know, like you say, this is Rocky getting his mojo back, legging it down the beach, you know, with Apollo and beating Apollo. It was just a great, great moment. And honestly, I got goosebumps just thinking back to it now. It's just fucking, it doesn't happen that often. It only happens with movies that I absolutely love usually. And I can't say I loved this when I was watching it. But, you know, I might watch this again, and there just is something about it. And like, it's weird, isn't it? We did a courtroom drama pretty much last week. I'd forgotten the connection there, and we've ended back in the courtroom here, and it's just fucking madness, really. But yeah, as Al Pacino says, you know, it's a bit of a surprise, Kevin. I'm the hand up Mona Lisa's skirt. Not that bit, but.
But no, but you're right. There is something about it. Even when they win. So when you know, obviously Lawrence does a speech and they think they've lost it. And then again, they say all these fancy words, don't they? And fucking Daryl thinks he's lost. And he's like, we've won. What? We've won. And then they party, don't they? And he talks about like ability extension. And then he's narrating the son about like they've got the cars, they've got, and it all works out in such a nice, wholesome way, doesn't it? You know, the son gets out of jail, they think Lawrence, and they, you know, Dennis is in the BMW, but and it's like, and then he goes, but I think Lawrence has helped him. So I think fucking Lawrence is doing all Dennis's bidding for him, but Dennis is riding on the crest of like he's some top fucking lawyer now, like sort of going into business and got some iron in water thing he won and all this. But yeah, I just think it just finishes so well. It's like, it's just really, really wholesome moving. Blake's done me here, Dave, but not for what I thought, because I actually, I'm with you. I'm not bullshitting. I would probably watch this again. And apparently it was on UK TV at some point, which is interesting. So I've never came across it, never heard of it. But at 97, I was fucking out in Manchester, you know, trying to fucking cop off with anything that moved probably at that point in my life. But there you go. But yeah, so no, yeah, honestly, yeah. I think he's pitched a really good movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in terms of budget, obviously, it was big in Australia. It made $11 million off a $750,000 budget. I mean, it's really one of those. It would have been huge. This would have been, you know, your full weddings and a funeral, or your full Monty or something like that, where, you know, it makes a whole bunch off not very much. But anyway, Chris, should we get into our final review?
Let's go. Oh, Dave, again, I said it just before we got into this. A massive thank you, Blake, mate, honestly. Really, really left a mark with me, this movie. It takes a lot, I know. It wasn't a skid mark, it was just a mark, Dave. But I genuinely am really, really enjoyed this one, and I probably will watch it again. I think that the whole story of everyone coming together, the family, you know, Daryl is the glue of everything. Like you say, it's a great call about that, Dave. What a great spot about the Ted Lasso thing as well, like you said. I think that's so true. He's so positive. And even when he's down, there's still a little bit of Daryl in there. You know, when he's really at his lowest thing, they're going to lose the house. And the speech about it's not a house, it's a home. Yeah, we've heard this in other movies, but I think the way the actor delivers it, it's really, really clever. And that's basically what, obviously, Lawrence uses in his sort of closing speech as well to the panel of judges. So, but yeah, honestly, I think it's shot really well. I think, yeah, it's a low-budget movie, but it doesn't matter. It didn't need to be massive budget. I think what the tools they had and the way they encapsulated the characters and the surrounding area, the community around the family and that, I just think it works really well. So for me, though, I'm going to send it to Hill Valley. I think it's a really, really good movie. I say it's not one of the greatest movies I'm ever going to see. And at one point, I was questioning what's going on, but it gets to the point at the end and there is a payoff that's worth watching. So if you're into these sort of movies, I would recommend it. I mean, it's really, really good. So what about yourself?
I'm quite surprised, but I'm with you, Chris. And you know what? I'll say it straight away, right? So I think it's Hill Valley as well, but did toy with the idea of a Pleasantville. I mean, I was literally in the first half of the movie, I'm thinking, this is fucking terrible. I'm just not enjoying this. It's not funny. Like the same things you say, you know. But weirdly, some of the things became funnier. It's almost like, you know, the Fast Show. I don't know about you, but for me, it was one of those where you watch it and it's like, yeah, this isn't funny. And then you watch it a bit more and you're like, yeah, still not funny. You watch it a bit more and you're like, all right, okay, I can kind of see it. And you watch it a bit more and then at some point it becomes hilarious. And I wouldn't say this was hilarious, but it did become funny. I think when it really hits the ground is with the courtroom stuff. But like I said before, you kind of have to understand the character. So, you know, I understand the first half of the movie. I think it'd be a hard sell, you know, if you were showing this to someone. It's like, oh yeah, what's this? I mean, probably it would be turned off in the first half hour for a lot of people. For me, even if this was on TV, right, and I just caught it and just started watching it from the beginning, probably wouldn't make it past the first 10 minutes. I'd be like, what is this shit? But if you stick with it, that second half of the movie, you know, it just all becomes better. And yeah, really, really enjoyed it. I thought the characters were all, you know, really endearing. his lawyer mate, you know, his bumbling mate, I think it's quite funny. But yeah, I mean, the film is basically Daryl and everyone else, I think. And just it is so heartwarming, you know. And so, yeah, it is a recommended one. It's hard to get, isn't it? You have to rent it on Amazon, but it might appear on like another streaming service at some point. But yeah, really, really happy Blake picked this one. And like I say, in the first half, I thought, what is this shit? It's fucking stitches up here. No, I think it was a genuine pick. So yeah, brilliant.
No, brilliant, brilliant stuff, Dave. And I know we say this and I say this a lot, but now for something completely different, Dave. So our good friend and Patreon, Stephen, has picked one here, Dave. And it's a movie that is so famous. I have never seen it, though. he's got iconic, one of the most iconic moments, I think, pop culture wise, that is still used to this day aligned. So we are going back, Dave, to 1975. It's a movie starring Jack Nicholson, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So let's get into the trailer. I've never seen this, but I've seen the behind the scenes stuff, you know, where he's about to get into character for different things.
Why do you think they might think that?
They don't make a bit of sense to me.
No, I never liked Jack Nicholson. I don't know what it was about him. But just as a kid, mind, really? Just didn't like not him. I don't know why.
Excuse me, miss. Do you think it might be possible to turn that music down so maybe a couple of the boys could
talk? The question about him being the best joker, didn't I?
Your hand is staining my window.
God almighty, got you guys coming or going.
I think I need to rescind that, Dave. He's still got him.
Change
Batman.
Never hurt, huh? A little variety.
Oh, Jesus!
70s trailers weren't great,
come on,
were they?
You're not going to say that now.
This
you're not going to say that now. You're going to pull that henhouse shit now. When the vote the chief just voted, it was 10-9. I want that television set turned on right now.
I don't think
what
he's
we're
going to
think
of
this there. Have you seen this before?
No. I know of it. And it's one of those. We've said about 70s movies before, haven't we? There's some blank ones that we just not really.
You guys do nothing but complain about how you can't stand it in this place here, and then you haven't got the guts just to walk out. What do you think you are, for Christ's sake? Crazy or something? Well, you're not.
Oh, he's in it.
Hey, wait a minute.
Hold it!
See how easy it is.
We're from the state
is
mental
the
institution.
Trailer.
This is Dr. Cheswick, Dr. Tabor, Dr. Scanlon.
Well, okay, now Christopher.
I know he was in it.
How bad is
this? Is definitely why he got the Joker part in the Olden years.
Thank you, Mac. Thank you. I'll never forget you.
It's going to be interesting this day, because this Stephen Hopkins trailer is completely the opposite of how I thought this movie went. Yeah, interesting trailer. Michael Douglas, produced by Michael Douglas. I didn't know that.
Produced by Michael Douglas in 1975. I don't think it's the same one, Chris.
Listen. It's got Danny DeVito. It could be that Romance in the Stone.
Fucking hell. Did you see Arnie and Danny DeVito in the Oscars?
Yeah, with Michael Keaton.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
It was. It made me laugh, though, because everyone's going, as Arnie fucking forgot. It wasn't even. It was Thingy, wasn't it? Val Kilmer was his Batman. Or was it George Clooney was his Batman? It wasn't even Michael Keaton for Arnie.
I don't think you're supposed to look as deeply into that.
I know, but I was a little bit like...
It was just a Batman gag.
Yeah, no. I did like the old, come at me sort of thing. I love that. Then I saw the grey Batman stuff online then. They'd missed the trick. They should have gone with that old Batman sort of thing and done a movie on him.
Yeah, you never know, do you? But, I mean, maybe Warner Brothers will make it and then never show anyone. But anyway,
let's not. But anyway, massive thank you and big thanks to Blake again and Stephen for next week's picks. It'll be amazing. So if you want to email us, the VHSStrikesBack@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media @VHSStrikesBack. As always, if you've got time, please drop us a review in your podcast catching app. It just helps the podcast get all them charts. And very quickly, Dave, the No Cheat, No Surrender 3 updated viewing list is now at 33,000. So we've gained 2,000 more viewers over this last week with a lovely comment about this is amazing. So that's really nice. We don't know what's going on with the algorithm. YouTube is utter bullshit, but we'll take them extra viewers to our talking, Dave. I'm over it.
Sorry to cut across you there. Did you see, I saw on Kurt McKinney's Instagram, I reposted it on our story, Ryan Gosling was getting interviewed. And he was talking about, films that he liked, and he said, probably action movies, No Retreat, No Surrender was great, Bruce Lee comes back and he talks to this kid and stuff, and Kirby Kennedy's posted it, and I'm like, fucking yes, Ryan Gosling is a fan of No Retreat, No Surrender.
Fucking brilliant. Hey, The Fall Guy's getting brilliant reviews, by the way, Dave. Oh, really? And Ryan Gosling. Oh, it's fucking brilliant. He said him and Emily Blunt, he said it's one of the best comedy action movies for a long time. Honestly, it's, the reviews have been stellar. Yeah, I love the original. And they're driving down the street in the original, one of the original trucks, which I fucking love that truck anyway. So I'm going to watch that. I just hope they pay homage to Colt Seavers, Dave. Or he is Colt Seavers, or, you know, Lee Majors is still around. He can, maybe some of the original cast get a little bit of a cameo. That'd be great.
Oh, I pay homage to Heather Thomas coming through the the doors there at the opening trailers.
Okay, hold on, I'm getting a fucking semi on now. But anyway, on that bombshell. So thank you to everyone. If you're a supporter, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. And here's the roll call of honour for this week. So big thanks to Mr. Mike Burton, Lee, Helen, Dylan, Stephen, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Matt, Heath, Kent, Lucky Lulu Green, Herbs, Jacks, Math, Blake, John Hammond, and Mr. Tony Farina. So thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to next week, Dave. And what are you going to take us out with today, Dave?
Well, I do think that there are a few quotable lines in this one. Sometimes you get to this point and then there really isn't, and you realize, oh yeah, that's why the movie was shit. But there was something I said about the fast show, and like the first time you might hear a joke, you know, like when he's talking, Ted, you know, he has this interaction. It's like, what the fuck's this? But honestly, when his son's going through the newspapers, and you know I can't resist doing a terrible Aussie accent, Chris. So I just love the way his son says about, you know, we need to buy this, that, and the other, get him to get a price for it. He gives him the price, and then he just says, tell him he's dreaming. So there you go. Terrible Aussie accent. Tick. Thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Butchers, golly. Goodbye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's odd.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Ah! Ah! Get to the chopper!
One ring to go.
All right.
Ding, ding. Bust you up. Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad, ain't so bad. Come on, ain't so bad. Ain't enough. Come on,
you must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe you're stupid.
You're crazy.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months.